Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Tech Disruptors by Bloomberg Intelligence. My name is Neeraj Patel. I'm a technology analyst on Bloomberg Intelligence team, Bloomberg's in-house research group. We are excited to have Eyal Feldman, the co-founder and CEO of Stamply, join us today. We look to learn from Eyal how Stamply has evolved from accounts payable automation to broadening out their solutions across the mid-market businesses. Also, how they're leveraging AI to stay ahead of traditional methods in the market. With that, let's turn to Eyal, and we'd love to hear a little bit about yourself and your experiences even prior to coming to Stamply.
Hi, very nice to meet you. Thanks for having me. So before I started Stamply, I was involved a lot with ERPs. I started as a project manager for SAP. And then I was in charge of a bunch of projects in SAP, and later on I moved to work with Documentum, which was basically an ECM platform. What it means, it's a platform that allows you to connect documents to processes and people in the optimal way. Because what we found out is that, you know, if you had to save documents somewhere besides the process, people wouldn't stop everything and go and look for that document. So they wouldn't have the benefits of having that document in front of them. And these two worlds kind of made me understand how much you can use the document as part of the process and how you basically have no limits to the efficiencies you can get once you do that. You know, a lot of systems, we're all about how we're adding more functionality, but when the document was still an outsider. So that kind of taught me how documents and people and processes can work really well together. And then basically the sky is the limit. And I was really exploring a lot of areas where document and processes and people really need to work together well. And accounts payable was one of them. And the interesting story is that it started by having an invoice crisis in an organization that I managed that made me dive in and understand how much it's important for the context that everybody know they talk about the same invoice, you know, not just a invoice, and see the same invoice when they're talking about it. And this is where it all started.
That's very interesting. And in the back office finance, I can imagine the amount of documents circulating among the different groups, as you mentioned, and discussing Stamply's focus on accounts payables and the challenges in that domain. Can you highlight a couple of the challenges that are there today that were not there several years ago? And where do you see this basket of, how you're automating this area going out 5 years or so?
Yeah, so you know, the problem of accounts payable is really interesting. You have a group of people which are removed from the process because of segregation of duties, because that's the way you can keep your accounts payable safe, and this is what they're here to do. But then there are a lot of things that they need to figure out. They need to figure out, is this invoice legit? Did we actually order that? Were these the terms that we agreed on? How should we allocate that cost in order to have very accurate, you know, activity-based costing? All these things, they need to talk to other people inside the organization. And what we found is that, you know, when they don't have the way to do that, they look for the simple way to do that, or they're bypassing some steps, or just deciding on keys to allocate costs. And that really hurts the outcome. So essentially, what we've recognized from the beginning is that what we need to really do is to empower this team with the tools that they need in order to communicate with whoever they need to communicate on the context of the invoice itself, in order to figure all these things out. And this is where Stamply started. We started as a kind of a collaboration platform that allow these people in AP to communicate with all their people in the organization and all the way to the last mile. They can talk to the actual person that ran that, you know, show, that can say, this is what I use that budget for exactly, and this is how you should allocate that cost. And by enabling that, we solved a very big problem that AP has. And if you're looking forward, where we are now and where we're going with that, once you capture that workflow, you essentially capture the full workflow, not just stations of the workflow, like traditional system that were more based on, you know, very rigid workflows where someone had just the job of approving something. And because we go all the way to that last person, this is where AI starts to be very interesting, because then we can reverse engineer that and essentially take all that data and bring it back to the user by enabling them not to do again something that they already analyzed or did in the past, but basically feeding them that back with that. And when you're talking about the future, you know, with all the things that are happening today with AI, you can basically take it much further and in much more functions of AP. So it starts with the real workflow, and it goes on how you can basically bring value from the historical workflow, and then how you can actually leverage and automate more and more of that.
That's interesting points. And, you know, just touching on your comment about empowering the account payable personnel, what are some of the highlights or maybe some of the stories on that aspect? We understand the finance function has a lot of rigid processes. This is how you do it. This is the way I have done it. How has that journey occurred, or how have you seen that transpire?
So I think that's the key of finance. Finance is rigid by design, and it should be this way. At the end of the day, you want to have a result that you know, which is a financial report or something that allows you in managerial accounting to make decisions. So the rigidity is in place for what should be the outcome. Where you shouldn't have rigidity is, how do I get there? And the idea is, how can you get there with the most up-to-date real information that you can get from whoever can provide you this information? And where you don't need to do that anymore, because you already done it in the past and you already know, and you can basically incorporate that in the process. So I think that's what really makes it unique. And that's why there is such a great opportunity here with AI to essentially keep the outcome rigid and accurate while changing the way to get there, making it much more efficient, making it much more real time and real world evidence based that gets you that rigid outcome that you need at the end of the day.
Interesting. And you're touching on AI, and was there solutions that you experienced pre-AI, and how has that changed this scope and impact on accounts payable itself, introducing AI? And was that for you day one, incorporating and implementing that in your solution?
So historically, if you look at almost all the traditional accounts payable providers, they had teams, some of them still do, of like hundreds of people that would essentially do some work. So it was more like a combination between a software and a service. And if there was some automation, the automation required very sophisticated process of training templates and so on. And that has changed. Today, you don't need to do both of these things anymore with the technology that is available. So essentially, that allows us to focus, to not to be a service company, essentially, with hundreds of people that can make mistakes, that you have to train. You know, there's a lot of deficiencies when you do this kind of work with people, and also speed. You know, these systems used to take 24 hours, and still some are, take 24 hours between the time you get an invoice until actually you can see it in the system. And that creates tons of issues. You know, accounting people, they want to make sure that if they send something, it's there. So until they don't see it in the system, they have to save it in a certain tray and then look for it to say, actually, this is already there. When you're giving it in real time, it just makes much more sense for the customer. It's much more accurate. And this is what they're looking for today. And this is what we've done actually from day one. So we are really probably the only company in AP that started from day one thinking and incorporating AI. We never had that team that some companies still have, which actually look at every invoice in some kind of an outsourcing capacity or a different country. It also really helps with privacy, making sure that nobody can actually look and see your stuff. There is no human that actually looking at this company's invoices or their information. We started it from day one. And what it helped us is actually be prepared for everything that is happening today, making sure that we are ready for every new type of technology that incorporates AI to just bring it back into our system and into our workflows.
Yeah, really interesting. And can you help distill some of the components of AI for our listeners? You know, what are you incorporating, NLP or machine learning or knowledge engineering, and how that is impacting account payable solution from Stamply?
Yeah, sure. So it's a great question. When we started with the obvious, which is basically understanding the invoice. And that was like probably 8 years ago. It's instead of teaching a system templates that would take a lot of time and wouldn't be that accurate, we essentially allowed our users to code invoices, and then we let our machine learning to compare what they see on that invoice to and what they see that the coding happen when the coding happens, and then map this and learn. So next time a similar invoice would come in, the system would by itself already be able to bring all this information from the invoice. And this is the technology of OCR available for a long time, but that's not OCR. This is basically taking everything that the OCR brings and learning based on coding what appears where and how should I recognize that this is that piece of data that I need. And that's really the basics. And that's something we've done really many, many years ago. Later, we went into a more complex environment where we're now trying to understand not the invoice and the data on the invoice, which is very basic. We're trying to understand how the company itself interprets this invoice, which means cost allocation, their IGLs, the workflow. Who should approve? Who should look at that invoice? How can I route it to the right people? A lot of things that are no longer just appearing as they are on the invoice, but they're reflecting our understanding of the process and the historical process and allow us to drive future decisions there as well. And that was the second generation. And what we are doing now is the third generation, which essentially allows you to do that not only based on the history of the company, but also based on something very similar to a human that will go and analyze a certain invoice and try to understand how should they categorize that, and or what should be the right process for it. And that's the third generation, which is possible because of the new technology and the LLM technology that is out there.
Okay. And Stamply addresses the mid-market business segment.
Yeah.
Before we get into details of your target customer, this description of the basic software to second generation to third generation, where is the market in terms of their adoption of these different levels?
So that's really, really interesting. It's a space where we still see a lot of greenfield. When we reach out to prospects, you still see that about 2/3 of them are doing things still manually. So we're talking about third generation and sometimes fourth generation of AI, but there are still many, many, many companies that are still doing these things manually. And you need to start by actually putting it all in a system and then enjoy all the benefits that the AI can provide you.
Interesting. So 2/3 of the market is available. And is that differ, you see US versus global or any particular regional or verticals that have this type of demarcation?
I think what you see as a difference is the enterprises mostly had to build something because the pain was such that they had to build something. And most of them build, you know, homegrown solutions or project-based solutions. That's how I told you at the beginning when I started with SAP and with Documentum, these were some of the projects that we would do, is to go to a customer, not with an AP solution, but with a bunch of platforms, and the customer would build based on that solutions, and AP would be probably one of them.
Got it. Okay. And looking at some of your portfolio, and we had to ask, can you get into Billy the Bot? Catchy name, but it's your AI platform.
Yeah.
It'll be great to understand more of that solution.
So Billy the Bot, what we did at the beginning, our AI was a bunch of algorithms, you know, and to go and explain to a customer a bunch of algorithms is very hard. So what we did, we basically came up with the idea of let's humanize this bunch of algorithms and call it Billy the Bot. And Billy the Bot at the beginning was just all these different algorithms that would work and all these machine learning components. But on the side of the customer experience, what that would be is essentially I have this assistant, its name is Billy the Bot. And whenever Billy the Bot brings me something, you'll see a little icon with a picture of cute Billy. And what they understand when they see that is one, it's not 100% sure correct. I need to look at it. And once I look at it, if I correct it, it goes back to the model and it trains Billy. So by humanizing Billy, what it allowed us to do, especially in the early days, is get people used to the fact that Billy is my assistant. It doesn't mean it's always right, but I can teach it by fixing things. So if it was wrong and I'm fixing it, next time Billy is going to be correct. And that idea really worked well for us. Actually, it worked so well that people started to know Billy more than the name Stampley. We put it on our t-shirts. We put it in our logo. We still get a lot of messages. Billy's our best friend. Billy's the best part of our team. Mm-hmm. And people actually look at Billy like almost a human that is helping them. And it's really nice to see how Billy also gets smarter and smarter. There are a lot of aha moments of like, oh, I didn't know Billy can do that. And suddenly Billy does another thing. So humanizing Billy really helped us. And it also goes back to your previous question with the rigidity of finance. For finance team, the idea of Billy, that it Billy is, it has that kind of some kind of human characteristics, was really helpful, because finance people will still want to have the last word. They will want to make sure, they will want to check. This is what they're there for. But having Billy as that kind of semi-human bot that is there to help them was really opening their mind and allowing them to get the benefits. So, you know, it's like with cars, you have to get, you know, before you can release cars to the street to get to 100% sure. When it comes to Billy, I can save you 80% of your work or 90% of your work, but still, I want you to understand that this is where it's coming from, and you can really contribute to its success in the future.
And how has the adoption and usage of Billy tracked over time?
So Billy is used by all of our customers all the time from day one. Billy, when it comes, it also brings suggestions immediately, because some things it learns from a global repository, like just structure of invoices. But when it comes to the company specific things, that happens after a few weeks when the company is already working, and then it gets and it learns everything. And again, so different, the adoption is 100%. We don't have a single customer that is not using Billy. And the depth of Billy is actually constantly getting deeper and deeper and deeper.
Okay, pivoting a little bit to the point about enterprises and mid-market businesses and the other data and systems that have to be integrated. ERP integrations, it's a little, maybe a little bit of a challenge incorporating that. How is that perceived in the AP processes? And are there any differentiations between the vendors, Microsoft or QuickBooks or Sage, or is it agnostic?
That's a great question. I think in the AP space, at the end of the day, every customer sees the world through the lenses of the ERP that they have. Nobody cares if we cater for other ERPs. What they care in our ERP environment, which is our source of truth, how well do you work? And the reality is that the quality of the AP solution is as good as its integration, and that's what customers care about. They want to see how well you can connect to my ERP, because otherwise you get this glass ceiling where, you know, there are suddenly functions you cannot do because you cannot do that because of how these two systems are connected. So ERP is really critical. And that's why we strategically decided from day one, we're not going to use any third-party tool for any of our integrations. Most of our competitors are using third-party tools. And we see that that's a struggle for them because, you know, that kind of limits their ability to serve all the functionality that the ERP has. So we created a dedicated team of experts of ERPs. Basically what they do, they know how to reverse engineer every ERP to the level that we can promise to our customers that whatever that ERP supports, it's guaranteed to be supported by Stampley. And that's something that requires a lot of internal sophistication around making sure that that's the reality. And that really takes a lot of work. So it's really a very meaningful heavy lift for us as a company that makes everything much more simple for the customers. And another area where it makes a lot of impact is in implementation. Essentially, we're not sitting down and ask them, what do you want to connect and how? What we're doing is that by integrating in almost a plug-and-play way, our system gets into their ERP environment, learns their ERP environment, and reflect that structure back into Stampley. And that's why we can implement much faster than any other company, because we don't have, we have a rule in our product. If you can figure out something yourself, don't ask the customer. Don't waste their time. So wherever we can figure out stuff, the system is doing it by itself. And that provides a lot of value for our customers.
Okay. And as you see Stamply moving beyond account payable, what is the next natural fit for the portfolio, for a customer reception? And how do you see it extending into maybe account receivable side or B2B payments? Your view on that?
Yeah, so we started as just AP and then a full-blown AP platform. Today, we basically have B2B payments from ACH to checks to international payments, three different credit card products. So we essentially a platform today that includes all these B2B payments as well. And the way we think about it product-wise, we have three domains in our product, which one of them is the core, where we basically cater for as many processes to complete everything that you can do with your ERP with the maximum flexibility and collaboration ability and ability to really benefit and maximize this process. That's core. Then we have fintech, which is essentially more ways to pay, more tools to pay, and more alternatives, and a lot of things also there on the pipeline. And the third one is ERP, which is basically keeping up to date with the current ERPs we have and adding more and more ERPs. So in every one of these domains, there is a lot that we have planned, a lot of on our roadmap. And on top of all of that, there is the AI, which essentially the technology today allow us to help the customers facilitate a lot of processes automatically, which historically it was just not possible. The technology wouldn't allow you, wouldn't be possible to do that. And this is where I expect actually in the future to see a lot of the innovation coming from Stamply and generally from good products. It's around how can I actually take all these things that today humans have to do behind the system and do it for them. And there's a lot coming in that space.
Great, Eyal. With that background, maybe you can set the competitive landscape for us, where Stamply fits among the wide range of competitors. We understand we have Bill and Intuit down market in the small side of the business spectrum. We have some card network processors like Global Payments, who acquired MineralTree several years back in a little further upstream. Where does Stamply fit, one? And two, why did you guys target this mid-market segment that you determined?
Yeah, so I think in there is a lot of noise in this space, but I'll help you put some order into this noise. And the thing is that in the mid-market, at the mid-market to enterprise, at the end of the day, there are not a lot of players which are doing really accounts payable. What you do have is quite a lot of payment companies that claim to be able to do accounts payable. And they're probably right when it comes to very small companies that don't have sophisticated processes in place, when the only thing they want to do is move payments from point A to point B. So putting aside the small businesses, when you look at the mid-market and the enterprise, you actually have a few companies. And what differentiates Stamply is that a lot of them come from the payment space. Stamply is AP first. This is where we started. This is where we're really, really doing things from day one. And I think that's kind of important. So the other part is you mentioned some cards and some companies that basically doing spend management. Spend management is not AP. Spend management traditionally is expenses. Expenses is actually part of what, you know, bigger companies would consider as part of their HR and payroll. But we do also expenses. I just don't think that, you know, there is a real direct competition there. I do think that it makes sense for a company to use an expense solution, or you can call it spend management, that comes from the same provider, because otherwise it becomes a way to bypass the system you put in place. Because if you want to buy something and you have a sophisticated approval process when it comes to AP, but otherwise you can just go and use your card to buy that stuff, everybody will go for the easy path. And CEOs and CFOs want to have controls in place, and they want to have unified controls. They don't want to start to recreate these controls into different places that will start to compete with each other. So at the end of the day, I think, you know, what companies are looking for is for that AP platform to support their processes and to have that as the hub, another that umbrella to have the payments, the cards, and everything else that connects to that, to that same philosophy that they want to implement inside your company.
And from your perspective of B2B payments, how is the adoption for advanced digital payments, virtual cards, among your customer base? We hear a lot of, or actually last couple of years, a lot of excitement that may have cooled off a little bit. How has that transitioned into these advanced payments from the ACH and check payments?
So I think it's really an interesting question, and it's kind of funny, you know. We make checks as easy as a digital payment. So because for the customer perspective, they don't have to do anything which is not digital. Their experience is fully digital, and there is some kind of company somehow eventually sending that check. Same thing for all kind of payments. The way I think about it, at the end of the day, a company wants to be able to purchase whatever they need to purchase, and they need to be able to pay in many different possible ways. That should not be the barrier of them doing a business with a certain supplier. What I do see, and I think that's something that made a lot of friction for our competitors, is that they're trying to push virtual card payments because of the interchange, and because their ability to profit on the interchange. And what they're doing, they have a team of help desk that actually call these vendors, try to convince them to move from traditional payments to virtual card payments. Now, the motivation there is not the benefit for the customer, and it's not the benefit for the vendor. It's essentially the ability to make money on the interchange. Our philosophy is that we should never come in the middle between our customer and their vendors. It's a very important relationship, sometimes really strategic relationship. So our philosophy there is to enable them to do that themselves if they choose to. So we allow them to communicate with the vendor, again, through the communication hub, through the portal, and get to their agreement that they want to get with that vendor. And we are removed from that. We're not going to be there calling that vendor and say, this customer wants to pay this way, because there is always sensitivity in these relationships, and we don't want to be the ones doing that. And that's something that you see a lot. So I think a lot of the talk about the virtual payments is coming from the idea that, hey, it's a much more profitable way for the, you know, AP provider to make money. But we believe that it's not a sustainable long-term approach. And what we do, we enable them, the customer, to do that if they choose to do that. And we provide them a wide array of options of how they want to pay.
Interesting. And in the context of your customer view, what is the preference for end-to-end type of solution versus a best of breed? Is it dictated by the size of the customer or the type of solutions they're trying to implement?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And I'll go back to your previous question about the mid-market. You know, what makes the mid-market really interesting is the fact that they want to see something which is exactly what they need, and they want to see it fast. And if you do that well, it's very easy to go up market and down market. So when it comes to best of breed and mid-market, I think customers are expecting to get best of breed, because essentially, again, they're choosing an ERP, and an ERP can go, you know, a mile wide and an inch deep. And then they need to go and complete that inch deep in the areas that are important for them. And that's why there will always be the best of breed approach, and not the one solution solves it all. The one solution, which is the central solution and the most important solution, is the ERP. And now every different company wants to complete different parts of these processes. Think about it. There are so many processes out there. I do think, and that goes back to your previous question about the mid-market, is that the mid-market is today the most interesting place to actually start. If you want later, you can go up market, you can go low market, because the mid-market has the most, the toughest expectations from you to provide exactly what they need really, really fast, and not ask them to, you know, work too hard in order to make it work. And if you can really create that simplicity for them and win this market, it's very easy later to go up market and down market, because you really did the toughest thing first.
Interesting. Leaving some of the customer perspective and pivoting back to AI, how is the organization, Stamply developers, benefiting from AI? Is there any specific metrics or how you monitor maybe development releases per week, or any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so you know, it's I think management wise, it's very important to have a tight ship when it comes to, you know, everything that starts from ideation and go all the way to execution. You need to monitor everything, and every part of that chain needs to be monitored. And then when you executed something, you need to basically go back and say, is that what I expected that to deliver, and what are my learnings? So you need to have the dashboards and everything that shows you how well these things are doing. And it's a constant iteration. This is something that we find very important for us as an organization, and we do that very thoroughly here.
And continuing on AI, how has the, I guess when we think about pricing and strategy and perception of how you pitch that to the customers, will you have a specific type of added advanced AI pricing structure, or will it be recognized by the customer in terms of an added value and they will understand the higher price for the added technology?
So currently it just comes with the platform. It doesn't have a separate pricing component. It's for all. I do foresee in the future, with the type of things that we are working on now, that it might be that there will be an additional cost, because there's going to be a very big additional value, and the computing power there is also much more expensive than things we've done in the past. So I think there will be a hybrid of that in the future. But currently, all the AI we provide is part of the package, and it's basically everybody gets it with the basic package.
As we're wrapping up here, two last questions, Eyal. Just your view on the economy from your customer lens, and how that has been an impact to account payable business.
Yeah, so I don't think I'm specifically a prophet to say, you know, what's coming. We did see many times correlation between the level of activity of our customers and, you know, things that happen later in the economy. This is an area we're actually exploring now quite deeply, and also the academia is involved with us on that. So we see a correlation. You know, there are some indexes out there, like Purchasing Managers Index and others, and we just have this information real time. So we see some correlation there. Nothing concrete that I can say now about the economy, but we do sometimes see some trends, and when we look back, we say that's really interesting, and we see a correlation. The other part is interest rates. I think, you know, and everything that happens really impact the tech industry. You don't see as many new players coming in. You see some players that would spend tons of money on advertising, you know, turning it off. So it's a different environment today. And I think from the customer perspective, what you see, which I find most interesting, if you look back in the years of zero interest rate, a lot of companies didn't care about when they pay. You know, payment terms didn't matter. It's like, whenever it's ready, I'm going to pay. What we see now they care about payment terms, and that makes a system like ours even more valuable and more important, because now you can start to manage your cash flow by optimizing when you pay based on the agreement you have with your vendors. And that really is something that we see. And I think that's a very interesting trend that also contributes to the success and the need for a system like ours.
Eyal, let's wrap up with a final point for our listeners. The hot topic of the day in the tech sector is generative AI. What should we look for regarding Stamply's leverage on generative AI technologies such as ChatGPT or OpenAI or other solutions?
Yeah, so I think I touched that a little bit previously on the third generation and the things that we were doing now. I think generative AI, the way you want to think about it, in essence, it's like having a graduate, you know, someone, you have a brain at your disposal that you can use. And the fact that you can do that allows you to tap into a lot of processes that before technology couldn't do. You had to have the human. And that creates a lot of very interesting opportunities. And I think generative AI is going to have, it's a huge revolution. It's not an incremental change. And you're going to see a lot of the future is not going to be necessarily about more features. It's going to be a lot around how much features that we already have, you don't have to do anymore, because I have that assistant that is much more clever than anything we had before. and can do that for you. So I think you're going to see a lot of that coming.
Great. Eyal, we truly enjoyed our conversation today. We look forward to seeing what comes from the Stamply organization in the future. Thank you for joining us today on Bloomberg's Tech Disruptors.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.